would bow your head for just a moment before we get into the sermon tonight. Let's pray. Dear God, we commit this time to you now. Lord, it's all about you. It's all about your glory. It's all about your word. Lord, help us to rightly divide the word of truth. And Lord, may we learn some things and apply them to our hearts and life, draw a little closer to you, be encouraged in our walk with you. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you what type of person you might be. If you hear on the news that all the fruit in Florida have frosted, I mean, are you the kind of person that starts worrying about, boy, okay, well, then oranges are going to be outrageous, and are we going to be able to afford them? Or you hear about some shipwreck that lost millions of gallons of oil, and their prices of gasoline's probably going to, you're like, oh, I just don't know. How in the world am I going to be able to afford gas prices? And on, are you that kind of person? If you're that kind of person, let me tell you, and I think we can all kind of fit into varying categories of that, don't y'all? But if you're one of those people that lay on your bed at night with your head on your pillow and wonder, I wonder if I'm going to be able to meet my needs. I wonder if I'm going to have food to eat. I wonder if I'm going to have the things that I need. I've got a really good answer for you. If you know the Lord is your Savior and you're serving Him, the answer is yes. You're okay. God will meet your needs. We've been talking about God's promises, God's treasure chest, that is, of promises. And tonight, we're going to review first. I like the review part. And we're going to see, I want you to think about how well you do on this, okay? So I'm going to have different people answer it. But if you don't even answer it out loud, do you know the answer to the question, all right? So we've been looking at God's treasure chest of promises. And ultimately, we've said several times, that ultimately is what? The Word of God. We just happen to have a chest up here with some articles that help us remember these promises. And really, if you know the Lord is your Savior, we have good days, we have bad days, we have days where we struggle. But the promises that we've been talking about should be the promises that do uplift us every day. Seriously, if you've been coming and listening to the various sermons, I think tonight is part 9, I believe. We haven't looked at really 9 different promises, but we spent some time looking at some a little bit longer than others. But if we go through these promises of God and your heart isn't at least a little bit encouraged, there may be a problem. You need to check your pulse, first of all. Make sure that you're still kicking, all right? So I'm going to give you some items out of here, and you're going to tell me what promise they represent, all right? This one here, what promise does this represent? Okay, that's amazing. We had about 10 answers, and they were all stated differently, but I think every one of them was right. It's the promise of God's presence. So when we got saved, we got, if you will, in a good way, handcuffed to God. And he took the key, he threw it away and said, hey, you're mine forever. Don't worry about it. You're mine. You're my child. You cannot lose it. If you know the Lord is your Savior, truly, you will not lose your salvation. And I'm with you all the time. Now, we know that in a general way, God is everywhere. But for the child of God, God is specifically with us. In the form of the Holy Spirit, God is always with us to help us through the bad times, the trying times, the scary times, whatever time you want to mention, God is there. So, the promise of God's presence, all right? Now, the second one that we looked at, we looked at this. Now, this is a picture frame. So what is this the promise of? The promise that God is working on us, out of Romans chapter 8. It was really a fascinating passage when you look at it, connect all the dots, that God the Father's working on us, God the Son's working on us, God the Holy Spirit's working on us, and even life is working on us with the circumstances of life to conform us more and more to the image of Jesus. And that's a good thing. I mean, that ought to encourage your heart that God, you know, do you ever feel like a failure? You sin against God, and you know you sin against God, and you're like, God, I don't have any excuse. I just failed you. I just sinned against you. I thought that mean thought. I just did this mean. I said this mean word. I whatever. and you feel like a failure. But to know that God is continually and will continue to work on you and on me to make me more like Jesus, he doesn't give up on us. That's good, right? So the promise that God is working on us. Then we looked at this one. Can anyone tell me what this represents? The promise of... Y'all did it again. Two different answers. Phrasing it different. I like the way I think I heard Ken say this, the promise of forever life. You know, because it doesn't end. The moment that you got saved, whether you were 4 years old or whether you were 84 years old when you got saved, at the moment you got saved, truly committed your heart and life to Jesus and believed in your heart that Jesus really was the Son of God who died upon the cross for our sins and resurrected back to life, at that very instant, you inherited forever life. And like a circle, there is no end to it. And I've said several times, you know, people talk about, well, someday we'll have eternal life with Jesus. No, you have eternal life now. We will be with the Lord in person in heaven, absolutely. But right now, you have eternal life, so you will not die. Again, I would encourage you to get rid of that terminology, pass away. Just get rid of it out of your vocabulary. Because that sounds like, well, poof, where'd they go? They passed away. They're no more. That's not true. We're passing on or passing maybe or leaving this world is better terminology because we're not passing away like, where'd they go? It sounds like a magician or an illusionist or something and you just disappear. No, actually, our life is forever life, right? Then we spent some time, we kind of parked on this one a little bit. This here is a, and it represents what? The promise of God's help. And boy, I need it. I need it every day. I need it every night. I need it every minute. I need it every second. As that song, popular a few years back, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. And God's help and how he's promised to help us through everything that we go through. Tonight, I don't know if you can tell this, but this is a scrumptious slice of toast. Can't y'all see that? It's been in the toaster a little bit too long. No, actually, it's plastic. But the point is, tonight we're talking about the promise of God's provision. The promise of God's provision. How many of you love bread? How many of you, it's your downfall? If you have one on a diet, it's like, I love bread. I love it with butter. I love it with jelly. I love it with honey. I love it plain. I love toast. I love it toasted. I mean, bread. And the older I get, this is bad. This is bad. The older I get, the more I like it. Because before, I was kind of like, give it or take it or leave it. But I love sandwiches. I mean, you put it on, but the meat without the bread, this is half the meal, right? But looking at this toasted piece of bread, I want to remind you that God promises us provision. God promises us provision. Now, you might say, well, you know, we're in America, we don't need that promise because we've got so much wealth and the wealth of America can disappear about that quick. Seriously. I mean, I don't necessarily see wealthy people here, so I'm not saying that we're wealthy, but compared to a lot of the world, we are wealthy, but we're only one step away. And maybe you've been in a position before where you didn't know exactly where your next meal was going to come from. You didn't know how God was going to pay that bill. You wasn't sure how God was going to do this, that, or the other, how he's going to give you. I'm thankful that our God promises provision for his children who are serving him. Now, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4. Now, this might confuse you a little bit because we're looking at the book of Philippians on Sunday morning and Sunday night. But this is probably the clearest verse on God's provision. But I think sometimes we look at it a little bit in the shallow aspect. We're going to look at verses 14 to 20 of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 to 20. Now, as Paul is concluding his letter to the Philippian church, okay, we're going to look at it. We're going to emphasize one verse in particular, and you'll hear some of this again because we're still working on getting to this point on Sunday morning and Sunday night. But in particular, if you'd follow along, Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. It says, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction." Now, when you read that, now where is Paul? Okay, if you remember in the book of Philippians, Paul is under house arrest in Rome. He really doesn't know whether he's going to live or whether he's going to die, okay? Now, if you remember, who came to Paul to help Paul, and you'll find out in just a moment, but can you come up with his name without cheating? No, not in this case. It's kind of a weird name. Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus came from the Philippian church to bring Paul an offering, most likely, and possibly some supplies and things that Paul needed while under house arrest. Now, I imagine under house arrest, he was not allowed to go to Walmart, okay? So he'd have to rely upon other people to bring him supplies and things like that. And he says right here, "You've well done that you did communicate with my affliction." In other words, you supplied things during my affliction as I've been under house arrest. Okay, everybody there? Everybody still got it? Says verse 15, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia," that would be on his second missionary journey, "no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So, not only have I communicated now with him and brought him something helpful to him, supplies and offering, things like that," it says, "when I first started on my second missionary journey," guess what? You communicated with me then. You gave me stuff. You blessed me with stuff to help me on my missionary journey. So if you kind of get the thought here, the Philippian church appeared to be a very giving church. That's not all. It says in verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica," now this was down the road a little piece on the second missionary journey, "ye sent once and again unto my necessity." So if you figure that up, the beginning of the second missionary journey, twice while he was in Thessalonica, and here when he's under house arrest in Rome, this church has reached out to him and given him supplies and offering, gifts and things that he needs. Notice that word, "unto my necessity." Verse 17, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." So I think he's tickled to death, if you will, that they've communicated with him. They've blessed him with supplies and offerings and things like that he needed. But what he's saying, even more important to that, I want you to be blessed for giving to the Lord's work. Now, it's more than just helping an individual. What is this helping in general? What is this, other than just helping Paul, what is it doing? It's spreading the gospel, right? So it's furthering the cause of Christ. And that's really the way, that's not the way I'm preaching it tonight, but let me just put a little thought in your mind. This is a really good passage to talk about giving to missionaries and giving to missions and helping them out. Because those missionaries are not going to go to the mission field. They're not going to make it to the mission field. And they're definitely not going to stay on the mission field if churches like ours don't help them and support them. And it says, "But you've done a good job." He's patting them on the back, Philippian church. It says, verse 18. Now he's really encouraged. You can tell this is a blessed Paul. Are you ready? It says, "But I have all and abound." Now, do you really think he had all and abound? Now, I know that's kind of a trick question. I'm saying I figure he still had some needs as far as some things that he could have used. But I think what he's expressing, I mean, maybe not. Maybe that was maybe the offering that they gave him. Maybe he specifically says, oh, I was able to get this, 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 and this, and I'm good now. But I think he's just trying to express, you've blessed me so much. You've blessed my socks off. I have all. I abound. I am so encouraged. Imagine if the Philippian church hadn't have been a blessing to Paul. Do you think his attitude would have been near as good? You know, this is called the letter of joy, but have you ever thought that maybe one of the reasons it's called a letter or an epistle of joy is because he's so blessed and joyful because they have been a blessing to him? I think it's possible, don't y'all? Okay, possible. And like I said, maybe when he says, I have all, I'm not trying to contradict what Scripture says, but I think he's expressing that he is so abundantly thankful for what they've done. It says, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, there he is. Some think he was the church, the pastor of the church at Philippi. The things which were sent from you, now an odor of a sweet smell. An odor of a sweet smell. You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about how something was a sweet smell to God. And that the idea is here, you know, not only is it a sweet smell to God, it's a sweet smell to me. It's good. A sacrifice acceptable. Now, notice that word, sacrifice acceptable. Can someone tell me what a sacrifice is? Something you give up, something you sacrifice to God. Does it cost you something? Yeah. Sacrifice. Now, I'm not sure we in America know a whole lot about that, but to sacrifice really means to give something up that you value for someone else. Maybe even something that you see as a need for someone else to further the cause of Christ. And it says, in case you missed it through a sweet smell, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable. Then it spells it out even more clearly, I believe. Well-pleasing to God. So putting it in the context, the Philippian church have been a huge blessing to Paul. And he's gushing all over him. He's like, man, you don't have any idea what a blessing that was. And then he says in verse 19, right back at you, right back at the Philippians. Notice, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now what exactly is that verse saying? What exactly is that verse saying? Under the title tonight, the promise of God's provision. You know, it appears to me as I look at this that when Paul received this gift, he was overwhelmed. He's like, wow. And remember, this church, this would be at least the fourth time that they have communicated with Paul in the sense of giving him an offering, supplies, and things like that you might need. Four times. And he says, uses the word sacrifice, but then Paul right back at him says, but guess what? But, In light of what you've done, you've given up what you view as perhaps necessary to yourself, but you have laid it out there for me. But guess what God's going to do? God's is going to give it right back to you. You may have given out of your need, out of your necessity as well, and given above and beyond, and sacrificed for Paul. I mean, there could have been people in the Philippian church that was poorer than dirt. And they passed the offering plate or passed whatever they passed, had a little bucket in the back or whatever, and said, now, y'all remember, after church today, we want to take up an offering for the Apostle Paul. He is in house arrest in Rome, and we want to make sure it's a good offering. And some of them might have, you know, checked their pockets a little bit, and there was this like two or three pennies in there, and they're like, you know what, like I said, we in America really don't know a whole lot about this, and I don't know a whole lot about this. You know, I grew up not having a whole lot, but compared to a lot of people, I was rich, I'm sure. But there could have been people that pulled out of their pocket just a little bit of change And they're thinking, you know what? I really want to be a blessing to Paul, but if I give it to Paul, I might not have enough food for myself. I might not have the provision that I need. But I think by the way it's written here, I think a lot of them said, you know what? That's okay. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to put it in the offering plate or put it in the bucket or whatever. And then Paul gets in and he's like overwhelmed and he says, but guess what? But, you know, you have sacrificed for me, but God is going to bless you right back. You know, it reminds me of, have you ever heard someone say, you cannot outgive God? You cannot outgive God. Even when you think it's a sacrifice, I believe that God says, you know what? I'm going to bless you right back. So rather than this being just a blanket statement, you know, well, God, I'm a Christian. Of course, I haven't been to church for a long time. And I really can't remember I can't even exactly remember where I put my Bible. But I'm a child of God. I know where, but I know I should be working, but I'm just going to lay home and put up my feet. And I like football, and I'm just going to watch football. After all, it's football season. But this promise says that God's going to meet all my needs. I don't think so. You know what I mean? I don't think that's the intent of the passage. It appears to me that Paul was talking to a bunch of people who were being faithful to God. A bunch of people who had sacrificed on God's behalf for the cause of Christ and for the cause of the gospel. Now, so I just don't think we can just kind of let, you know, okay, everybody quit your job, everybody just quit. You know, just tell Social Security you don't need their check anymore because you're just going to, God says he's going to meet it all. No, I don't think that's the point of the passage. I think really what it's saying is when we are faithful to God, God will meet our needs. I believe it's a little bit more specific than just a general statement. You know, when you are faithful to God, it seems to me when I read that word, but, it assumes a degree of faithfulness. You give, you serve. And I've thought about this too. We always apply this to the individual, don't we? I mean, we say to the individual. And you know what I say to that? Amen. It applies to the individual. But he's writing to a church, right? He's writing to a church. And as he writes to the church who has sacrificed on his behalf, he's saying, you know what? God is going to meet all your needs. You know, I think we can lose sight of that. I definitely believe it applies to the individual, but I also believe it applies to a church. I've heard churches, I think it was Big John down in Taze Valley. Taze Valley is a really big church down in Taze Valley. It's between Charleston and Huntington. And it's a huge, huge facility. They built a new nice church. They built a new fellowship hall now that they have and things like that. And some of the sweetest people that I've seen as far as just being around just to meet them and talk, because they have the pastor's conference down. It's a free pastor's conference, and you don't pay a cent for it. You come, and they bring in really good preachers, and you're like, ooh, that's good. Their choir gets up and sings really nice songs, and they bring in special music and all that, and they'll actually even put up pastors in a motel if you register early. And we've taken advantage of that probably 3 or 4 different years, probably at least a night maybe. 3 or 4 probably, and they'll put you up, and you're like, and the people are so, they seem to be, when they're dishing out, they feed us at least 2 or 3 meals during that 2 or 3 days, and when they give you the food, they actually seem joyful about it. You know, it's not, and just, you're the same way. I mean, you're very joyful when you serve the Lord too, so praise the Lord for that, but when they're scooping the potatoes, they got a smile on their face, and you say, well, thank you. Well, we're just glad to do this. You know, it just seems like, and I remember Big John, he came to that church, I'm sure when it was a lot smaller, and he's told the story before. It's funny how he does missions. I don't know if I've shared that with you or not, but during this, they'll have missionaries there, and these missionaries will get up, and they'll give their present something, you know, their ministry and what they're doing. There's a real brief little way. And then he'll get up there and say, okay, I want to entertain them. We want to take that young guy on as a missionary in our church. So do I hear a motion? Yeah, sir, I make a motion. I say, all those in favor say amen. Amen. Or whatever. That's it. I mean, it's not like we're going to talk about this for 3 days. He's like, We're going. He's talking. He one of them. He asked there. I think this past year. He says, "Do we support you?" I'm not really sure if we, because they support all kind of missionaries around the world. And one of them, they voted in. He said, "Well, we don't have all the paperwork and all that yet, but we'll make sure that we're good. We're on the same page." You know, talking about biblically and all that. But this guy, I remember him saying that when times got tough, I think it was him that I heard is related. He said, "We didn't have enough money to pay our bills. We didn't have enough money to do." He said, "You know what we decided to do? We're going to support more missionaries." God bless that. God bless them. They, again, they're not an itsy bitsy little church. They probably run 900 on Sunday morning. And I know I'm not elevating that a 900 person church is better than a 50 person. I'm not saying that, but I can say that God has definitely blessed them. And when you go in their facilities, they're not lacking. God has blessed their socks off. And I think the reason was they sacrificed for God's cause and for God's gospel, and God just blessed them in a huge way. So again, I believe this applies to individuals. You can't outgive God, and I believe it applies to churches. You can't outgive God. But then it says, but, and then it says, my God, my God. Did Paul view the God of the universe as his personal God? Absolutely. Can we view God as our personal God? Absolutely. We spent some time looking at that. It's a personal type of help under that topic, remember? But he said, my God, my personal God, what's he saying? Is the source of all things. He says, but my God shall supply. Shall supply. You know, sometimes we as humans, we think that, I work hard. I put the hours in. I do all the overtime. And I'm just so thankful that, you know, God has allowed me to work so hard so that I can earn all this money, so that I can get ahead, so that I... You got to be careful about that. You know, God wants us to work hard, absolutely. God wants us to earn money, absolutely. But can I tell you that really the source of blessing and provision in this world, it all comes from God. I mean, can you think of any good thing that doesn't come from God? It all comes from God. And you may have contributed your part and done your part, absolutely, and you need to do that. But we need to recognize that every good thing comes from God. The Bible's very clear about that. So he says, my God shall supply, what? All your needs. God's going to supply a few of your needs. Is that what it says? God's going to supply one of your needs. Just pick which one you want. No, it says God will supply all of your needs. All your needs. All your needs. What does all your needs mean? All your needs. That's good. This is a smart bunch. All your needs. And I'm thankful for that. And I take this even a little step further. Now, we know it's in the context of finances, right? We know it's in the context of physical things that we need. Y'all agree with that? But I really think we can, the application of that principle is even a little broader. When we serve God and we're being faithful to Him, God will supply all of our needs. Not only our physical needs, but our spiritual needs and our emotional needs. All of our needs. There's nothing that God will not supply for us that we need. Isn't that a great promise? All your needs. I think that includes physical, spiritual, emotional, any need that you have. Be faithful to God, and God will meet that need. That's a good place for an amen. I hate when it's that quiet. I'm like, maybe I stated that wrong. Do you understand me, Gwen? Okay, all right. All right, we'll make sure that my Southern West Virginia accent didn't throw you off here for a minute. All right, so the promise here, but my God shall supply all your need. Now notice this. I mean, like, well, what if God runs out of supply? That's not even feasible or possible, is it? And then it goes on, according to his riches. You know, when I think riches, I'm not talking about just getting by. You know, I mean, when it talks about riches, what do you think of? You think of buckets of gold, right? Overflowing, perhaps, right? Or a whole room full of gold overflowing. or a whole mansion full of grand things. It says according to his riches. And where's that? Where are these riches at in glory? In glory. You know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. I've heard this story of someone who goes to heaven. It's fictitious, of course, but there could be some real truth to it. The guy's getting the grand tour of heaven. And it's like, okay, well, this here is this, here's the mansions, and here's where the choir assembles, and here's where, you know, on and on and on. Here's the throne of God. Here's the river of life, and here the river, a pure river of water of life, and here's the tree of life, and blah, 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 blah. You know, and then finally, there's this great big, like, storehouse or warehouse, if you will. And the angel who's giving him the tour takes him in there, and like, all these fantastic things in there. I mean, just beyond imagination. And the guy says, I'm a little confused. What in the world all this stuff? He says, this is all the stuff that the Father had. He's willing to give to people, but they just didn't ask. Think about that. I think there's some application here talking about the riches in glory. It says, need according to his riches in glory. I will say that there is no end to God's riches. There's no end to God's supplying ability. And it says by Christ Jesus. It's all because of what Jesus did for us. When we trusted him, we became children of God, right? Now, we want good things for our children, right? And I'll be first to tell you that the best thing we can give to our kids is not money. The best thing we can give to our kids is Jesus Christ. Now, they have to say yes themselves, but to teach them and teach to them what's right and what's wrong and show them about Jesus, make sure that they see that it's real in our hearts and lives, give them every opportunity. That's the best thing that we can give to them. But I will say by that also, we want them to have good things, don't we? I mean, it's like, oh, you know, they're living in a shack, and I'm just glad about that. No, we'd like to see our kids have a nice home someday, right? If that's in God's will for them, and a decent car to drive, right? And on and on, you know, not just making it from month to month. You'd like, but see, our Heavenly Father is the same way. He wants us to be blessed and encouraged. Now, this is not health and wealth, all right? That if you have enough faith, you'll never be sick. If you have enough faith in God, you'll have all that you want. That's not true, but it is true that God says, I will meet your needs. I'll make sure that your needs are met. Again, not wants, but needs, because you are my child because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. Wow. You know, really, sometimes we ought to just sit and think about that for a minute. I'm a child of God. Now, I know the world sometimes talks in general terms. We're all children of God. No, we're not. We're all creations of God, and we're all made in the image of God, but we're not children of God until we trust Jesus as our Savior, and then he becomes our Heavenly Father. But I'm thankful for this verse, aren't you? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, that's not one of those barely getting by type of verses. That's one of those praise the Lord. That's a wonderful promise of God's provision. You know, David said in Psalm 37, verse 25, I'll just read that to you. In Psalm 37, verse 25, this is the words of David in Psalms under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, I have been young and now am old. Can anybody relate to that? I used to be young, but now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know, you say, what exactly is that saying? God will provide for your needs. Wow. Now, I know that's to the nation of Israel, but I think we can claim that promise in a sense as children of God today. What about this in Matthew? We could claim that one for sure, right? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Remember it says this, But seek, now pay real close attention, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, it talked about in this meeting, our meeting our needs, that we need to be faithful. I think there's an element there because that you were faithful, God will be faithful to provide your needs. Here it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Now, in the context of all these things, if you look at the verses before it, you know what it is? It's food, it's drink, and it's clothing. I don't know about you. I need food, I need drink, and I need clothing. And it says, put God first and just get that worry out of your brain. Because God will meet all those needs. They shall be added unto you. Now, aren't you thankful for the promise of hard plastic bread? No. Aren't you thankful for God's provision represented by this piece of assimilated toast here? I'm thankful that God will meet all my needs. You know, we live in a world that is at best very unpredictable. You know, some people have made the statement, you know, the only thing, how did they put this? The only certain thing in life is change. Now, I'd say it's the Word of God and God himself, but some people say, so things are going to change. And you know, that last little bit of inflation under the last administration, I think it about killed us all. I mean, we're not, I don't know where they get these inflation indicators, but they are wrong. Remember, you heard it here. They are wrong. When they say inflation is up 6%, I don't know where they're buying their groceries, and I sure don't know where they're getting their gas, but it's up a whole lot more than that. But you know what? As a child of God, we really don't have to worry about that. We're not supposed to be living for riches anyway, right? We're supposed to be content with such things as we have, right? So knowing that God, whenever I'm seeking after God and I'm putting him first in my life, knowing that he is going to meet the things that I need should be a blessing. It should take away an element of worry in our hearts and life. Now, again, I don't think too many people worry about, but in a big scale, then if you actually boil it all the way down, it's like, yeah, in a sense, I am worrying about provision. I am worrying about food and clothing and all that. You don't got to do that. You don't have to worry about such things. The promise of God's provision. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Let me ask you. Now, I know we all have a little different makeup in the sense of our personalities and things like that. Some people are more prone to worry. Some are less prone to worry. But let me ask you, do you ever worry about the essentials in life, about whether you'll be able to get them or not? Have you ever thought about that? Just, you don't have to answer out loud at all, but just in your heart. Have you ever thought about that or been concerned about that? If you have, you don't have to be. This verse, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Would you take just a moment? You're not beyond worry, so maybe say, Lord, help me if not to worry in the future, and Lord, forgive me for ever worrying in the past, if you ever have. Lord, forgive me for worrying about provision in the past, and Lord, help me in the future to not let that ever be a worry in my life as a child of God as I serve you.